You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Joe, Rob and Anika.
I'm missing fucking Emmerdale for this.
It's good to have you back, Anika.
Thanks, Yay! Joe.
My impersonation of a seal.
After my brief hiatus. Both of us had a brief hiatus.
Yeah.
Well, as if in from the world.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because of COVID. We're in isolation, but at different times.
Yeah. No mai, haere mai. Welcome to 95BFM's The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika. Man, we have a stacked show for everyone today.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And Rob is rearing to go. I can see it on his face.
Yeah, right. Okay. Football, right. Now, first, get this out of the way first. Man United 3, Spurs 2. Now, I want to get this into perspective, right? At the moment, Spurs are nothing special. We lose every other game. Now, Ronaldo got a hat-trick, and I'm loving the way United fans are banging on about how amazing he is. Firstly, that's his job, right? And secondly, he's played like a complete knobhead all season. Scores 3 goals, which was all right, and then all of a sudden he's the greatest of all time. He isn't. Right, he's also my dick of the week. You know, Lionel Messi and Pele and players like that. So just get that out of the way. We're rubbish at the moment every other game, so I actually predicted we would lose, which I hate being right. In other results, Arsenal beat Leicester 2-0. That makes me, I get sick in my mouth when I say stuff about Arsenal. Liverpool beat Brighton 2-0. And Man City drew 0-0 with Crystal Palace, which puts Man City on 70 points. Liverpool got 66, but with a game in hand. And then you go Chelsea, Man United and Spurs are 8th. Although we got a couple of games in hand. But I'm sticking with my prediction at the start of the season, will be 7th. Now, the biggest story in football is without doubt Chelsea and all the restrictions that have been put on them because of Roman the Bastard Abramovich, that's his proper name, which include not being allowed to spend more than 20k on an away game, which will make their away journey to Lille this week very tricky. I think P&O Ferries are doing a special and I'm sure they can find a backpacker somewhere. So I look forward to that. They can't buy or sell players, and they can't sell merch. And their latest scumbag trick, I just at the point there, you probably realise I don't like Chelsea by what I say about them, and I stick with it.
Yes, we had picked up on that, Rob.
Their trick, their scumbag trick, was to ask the FA if they could play their Saturday FA Cup quarter final away game to Middlesbrough behind closed doors because, let me turn another paper. Instead of the allocated 4,500 tickets, they've only got 500, so they don't want anybody to be there. You can't, well, there's got nothing to do with Middlesbrough. Anyway, the FA had nothing to do with it. They weren't having any of it. So this is an ongoing story with Chelsea, really. If they get thrown out, I wouldn't be bothered. Right, cricket, not really good for New Zealand at the moment. The top for Australia is just going away with it. They smashed New Zealand the other day. They beat the West Indies as well. They haven't lost a game yet. So the top four is Australia, South Africa, India and New Zealand. Then you've got the West Indies, Bangladesh and England and Pakistan. England haven't won a game yet. And they're the reigning champions. But the big game is on Sunday in part New Zealand versus England at 11 o'clock. I'm hoping England can at least get one result because we're not going to get into the finals. And finally, the Warriors season started last weekend with a loss to the Dragons, 28-16, and the injury of Sean Johnson. Not the start they were looking for, really, you know. But I want to talk about the Warriors a bit more next week, so that's me. See ya. No, I'm still going to be here, but, you know.
I mean, this year is our year, though, right, Rob? This year is our year?
Well, I've noticed... Sam, who I do the show with on Saturday, is a real big Grizzlies fan in the basketball. And I went, oh, you know what? I'm going to support them. And then they started to lose. And then I said on air a couple of weeks ago, I'm not supporting them anymore. And they've won ever since. So it's my fault. So I like the Warriors. I like the Warriors supporters. I think they're fantastic. And apparently their last 5 games will be over here. We really hope that's going to happen. But, yeah, it's going to be their season. You've got to believe. You know what I mean?
I mean... Yeah, yeah. I think at the end of the day, you just kind of have to have faith in them.
Oh, that's it. Have faith. Yeah, I know it's yeah.
A song. Anika, what's been going on?
Well, we have had the Super Rugby Owl Picky. So we've got the women's Super Rugby,
okay.
The inaugural.
All right, inaugural?
Inaugural?
Inaugural, yes.
Inaugural.
It's the first ever season of women's Super Rugby.
Oh, is it that?
Very exciting.
Four teams in it?
Yeah, well, we've got the final on Sunday. So in that final, we have Chiefs Manawa and the Blues playing in that.
Is that the Auckland side, the Blues?
Yeah. Auckland side, the Blues. Super exciting. It looks like it's going to be a super exciting match. I think Chiefs Manawa are the favourites at the moment because they did like consistently so well through the whatchamacallit?
Season?
Yeah.
What, just throughout the
Sorry, I haven't eaten today, so it's taking a while for me to find my words. But yeah,
well,
no,
do you normally eat alphabeti spaghetti then?
Alphabet spaghetti.
Yeah, that's where you get your words. Sorry.
But yeah, no, it's super exciting because obviously it's the first time that we've had it.
Will it be televised?
Yeah.
Wow, good, brilliant.
Time. Yeah, first time we've had it, and like it's off to such a strong start with some amazing matches so far. So yeah, that is super exciting. Keep an eye on that for Sunday, but yeah.
Who is your pick then?
Well, Chiefs Manawa are the favourites. But then it's like, I don't know, because I don't really get that thing with like rugby league where I feel the need to support my city, but it's like, should I be supporting the Blues because they are Auckland? As am I.
Wow, you are Auckland.
I am Auckland. but you know what I mean?
But sometimes I find it's better not to choose anybody. Like when I watch Tottenham, I'm useless. Don't even talk to me. And I go for all sorts of stuff. But the games I really, really enjoy are the ones where I don't really care who wins. You just watch it for the spectacle.
Wait to see who wins.
Yeah.
And then make your decision. But that's, yeah, super exciting. And then we rounded off our Winter Paralympics run with a couple more medals.
Yes, brilliant, well done.
So that's super exciting. We got a bronze from Adam Hall in the standing leagues, and then we got a gold and silver from Corey Peters in the sitting downhill alpine skis.
Is that the best sort of results they've had in the Paralympics? Do they? I'm guessing they don't normally.
That means we've got five or six Paralympic medals.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah, really fantastic. They've all done so well. And like the Alpine Paralympic skiing is fucking cool to watch, especially the sitting one. I think I was talking about this last week or a week before, but like the technology that they've designed to allow to sort of accommodate Paralympians is incredible. It's really cool. It's a cool sport to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to bring up netball. I wanted to ask you if you've been keeping up with the netball lately. I do know the season
just started, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
I'm not a huge netball head. Do I look like I am?
I really enjoy it. It's quite controversial, but I think it's just as skillful as basketball.
Yeah, it's definitely just as skillful.
I just think it's an impressive sport, like athletically. And the more rules put in play where you can't move. Wait, can you only take one step in netball?
Yeah, I think so. And you're only allowed in certain areas, isn't it?
Yeah, so each position has a designated section of
the court. A lot more technical than basketball.
Yeah, way more technical.
Way more technical.
The only thing I don't like is the crowd and have them wacky things that they whack together. I find that extremely annoying.
I did see that the Mystics got beaten by the Magic, I believe. Mystics were the defending champs. I might have that wrong, but I did read that they were toppled. And yeah, netball's like a cool sport, so I definitely want to cover that more.
And that is on TV as well.
That is on TV. I believe this is on Spark Sport.
I mean, netball's probably one of our most highly televised female sports.
Yeah, they're definitely
popular. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
My family was quite involved with it, so that's why.
Oh, right.
I used to go and watch like my sister play, my mum coach.
Yeah, it was always like, younger. I think I made the decision when I was like 7 or 8 between netball or hockey. and I went for hockey. And then there was, like, this weird thing I remember back at my school between, like, the netball girls and the hockey girls which sport was better. And so I was always very firmly in the hockey leagues.
Who was better?
Hockey.
Oh, hockey, hockey. Come on,
obviously.
Man. You couldn't.
Really?
Easy. Oh.
But doesn't netball get a lot more attention than hockey does in high school?
Yeah, which is bullshit.
That's fair.
Which is so stupid. No, hockey's more fun, I reckon, and more fun to watch.
I like it. If you squint, it's almost like football.
Just with sticks.
That's Rob's measure of how good any sport is.
If you squint enough, you can't see the sticks. I know that, mate. You get it on the leg with one of them balls. That must have really
hurt. Yeah, you got shin pads.
Oh, have you?
You got shin pads and mouth guards, but then we have to play in mini skirts, which is like a bit weird.
That's very weird.
But yeah, those sticks are hard and the balls are hard, but like you generally. But the goalie's very padded up.
Yeah, see if they can hardly move, couldn't
they? The goalie's so padded that I don't know how they get from one side of the goal to the other.
It's a very fast game, like basketball, like netball, I mean.
Very fast game because the ball's so much smaller.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just wanted to point out that the defense used in netball is a lot more ferocious than it is in basketball. Basketball, I've seen defenders just, you know, like chuck their hands up and be like, oh, I've done my best.
Yeah.
But like in netball, they're like on your ass, you know? They're like a heat-seeking missile. Like they are, yeah, they're just very, very aggressive.
On your ass like a heat-seeking missile. That's a sting right there, isn't it? But you wish you hadn't said that.
Yeah, no, I don't. But
hey, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, anyway, I should probably go back to punching people. Yep. Actually, first of all, I do want to mention about Tom Brady unretiring.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Which is interesting because...
Crazy.
Just like, I think, like 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, we did talk about him retiring.
Mm.
Which is weird because, like, at the time, it just didn't seem real. Like, oh, Tom Brady's retiring. Oh, he is in his, like,
the man's 40s. 44.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And it just seemed like such, like, a psych. Because I think he posted this thing being like, oh, I just realized that my place isn't in the stands, it's on the field. And I was like, okay, here's the thing. Because when I saw that, I was very surprised when I saw that. And I was surprised that he wasn't maybe going to make the foray into coaching.
Yeah, or be a pundit or something. I mean, you obviously don't need the money, so you got to wonder, why is he doing it?
Because I could see him coaching.
Yeah.
I think...
Take his teeth out and put seats in. That's what I'd do if I'd make him a coach.
Or even being an analyst.
Okay.
He'd be an analyst, though. All the, like...
He could be a commentator.
Yeah, commentator, analyst, anything like
that. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to these, like, iconic athletes, don't you want to leave the game when you're at the top?
Well, because you're saying if he comes back, when he comes back, and if he fucks up, he's just going to be remembered for being an old man.
Yeah.
Better walk away on the top. Who knows? Is he that good, though? I don't know.
Because he doesn't have to, because it's this whole thing of like, I still belong on the field. Right. But it's like there are so many ways to still be amongst and involved the team and the game without playing. I don't know. But then at the same time, we don't know what deal he signed. Maybe it was just like too good of an offer for him to refuse. I don't know enough about it. Like, I'm wondering if they really wanted him back or whether he...
It seems like a love for the sport. It's so hard to walk away from.
That's how it's being framed, which I get.
Or is he bums on seat person? If he comes back, then all of a sudden they'll sell all load of merch again.
Very cynical, man. I think there's a lot to consider, especially considering it's like the NFL, one of the biggest sporting establishments and one of the biggest players in that establishment.
Yeah.
Yes, he's come back saying it's a love for the sport, but I probably personally wouldn't take that at face value. I don't know, like, I get it. Yeah, sure, it's a love for the sport, but why go through the process of retiring if you're just going to immediately unretire?
Well, if we look at other athletes that have retired,
I mean, I think it would have made more sense if he took a season off and then came back.
Yeah, maybe just, like,
And it was, like, what, 2-3 week turnaround?
Well, that makes sense. Other athletes have done that, and I was reading an article on Stuff about it. They mentioned, like, how Michael Jordan retired, came back,
Yeah, but when Michael Jordan, are you talking about when he took that break to go play softball?
No, I'm talking.
He said he needed a break from the NBA and that he wanted to go.
Was he any good?
He was.
Oh, bastard!
He was pretty good.
People like that—they're good at everything. Just can't stand them.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't the best because he's not a baseball player, but, like, he was pretty good.
Yeah,
he was
pretty decent, playing
especially well for having just decided to try it out. And then he was, like, proper playing really well.
Well, when he came back in 2001 and played for the Washington Wizards, he was a very underrated player at the time. I have heard some people say, oh, he was quite underrated when he was with the Washington Wizards. Like, obviously he was no, like, 96 to 98 Jordan. But,
well, that's the thing, I think, especially for an athlete like him, is, like, he was an iconic basketball player, but also that, like, the 90s Bulls were an iconic team, and that was, like, an iconic run of seasons. So I think anything after that would have been really hard to sort of follow up.
Yeah, I mean, well, George Foreman was in a similar position when he lost. He was, like, unbeatable in the 70s. Then he faced Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire.
Battered.
Yeah, in his first defeat. And obviously that's going to knock your confidence. And then he retired later and...
started producing grills.
Yeah. He retired again in... Sorry, he didn't retire again. He retired in 1977 when he... after another loss... and came back in like 1991, and he won a world title at 42. And
wow, that's pretty good, isn't it?
And he was visibly a lot older than the other competitors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
Unfortunately, none of us will ever have to think about that as far as sports goes.
Unfortunately not, no.
Maybe Joe.
We'll see. I'll quickly brush over fighting... We've got a lot to talk about, so I'll quickly brush over all the stuff that happened this weekend. UFC Fight Night, Santos versus Ankalaev. Good fight. Although I saw a lot of debates about the whole chess match versus lackluster fight debate, whether or not, like, oh, was it a lackluster fight or was it a chess match? And people trying to, like, decide between the two or basically signifying a difference between the two.
Is anything like chess boxing?
No, not quite. Not quite. A chess match in a fight is one which is highly technical, and your opponents are more or less trying to set.
Sorry, I was just taking a piss. I apologise for being a dick.
It's all right.
Not again.
Mr. Popular.
You're fine.
Just like last week.
I thought I'd turn the volume down, sorry.
It's just all the record producers trying to get on a roll. Drew Dober versus Terence McKinney, great fight. That was actually fight of the night, like arguably round of the year.
Where are these fights? So they're not in Bahrain or wherever the hell they're in America, is it?
They're in America. They're at the fight nights are usually held at the Apex Center in Vegas. Terence McKinney dropped Drew Dober twice, and then Drew Dober came back and TKO'd him. So that was a great fight. Another standout was Song Yadong, who...
Sounds like a porn name,
I knew you were going to laugh at that.
Don't!
And he beat Marlon Moraes, who took off his gloves after the fight. Marlon Moraes is, like, a legendary bantamweight and extremely good. Has had some great fights with, like, Jose Aldo and
Henry. What's the significance of him taking them? What does that mean?
It kind of symbolises retirement.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you're hanging your gloves up.
Yeah.
Another standout who's actually my hero or like good athlete of the week, Khalil Rountree.
We need like a concise word for that.
Yeah.
Because every time we try to announce our opposite of the dick of the week, it's like, my hero, my good person, my good dick, my dick, but not a dick of the week.
Non-penai.
My non-penai of the week.
Non-penis.
Sorry for interrupting you, Joe.
He was had a real touching speech in the post-fight press conference.
Bottom lip wobbling time?
Yeah, sort of. Because Khalil Rountree has an amazing story where he was once overweight in a real bad state in his life, and he kind of changed that and became a UFC fighter, which is like real inspiring. Yeah. So for me, he's my like good bloke, non penile of the week. Also, Bellator 276, JJ Wilson lost. Unfortunately,
he's one of our boys.
He's a Kiwi boy.
Shit.
Nicknamed the Maori Kid. He unfortunately lost via unanimous decision, which makes him 8-1 now.
Is that him done now? Would he keep going?
He'll be back. He's only 24, and he's got a lot left in the sport. I reckon he could potentially become a world champion. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. A few more things. One championship. Shockingly, Gary Tonin was knocked out on the weekend. Now, just a bit of background on Gary Tonin. Jiu-jitsu wizard. And relies
heavily. Did he
heavily.
Got Hogwarts?
No, close. He just trained out of John Danaher's gym. It's very, very close to Hogwarts, though.
It's not that too many cups of tea with sugar in them. I do apologise.
They were. just jiu-jitsu master, and he was part of training Gordon Ryan, who's like arguably the best jiu-jitsu athlete of all time. Knocked out on the weekend. It kind of sparked a bit of debate on the use of pure jiu-jitsu in a sport like mixed martial arts, and how I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about how gone are the days of specialists in the sport, where guys who specialize in a certain aspect and they come over and then they have to adapt and use everything else. Yeah. So arguably the best specialist in the sport right now is Israel Adesanya, who specializes in kickboxing. And you can kind of see over the course of his MMA career how he's had to adapt and humble himself in order to learn the different disciplines in order to become a world champion. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting how, like, specialists aren't as prominent and MMA has sort of become its own sport now.
So you've got another bit of everything then.
Yeah, and even there are techniques which are specifically for MMA now. It was a big, big weekend of fights. I would also recommend watching a bit more of ONE Championship. That would be my watch for people to watch. Guess that wraps up everyone's highlight reel.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
But something I was thinking about the other day, and also we brung up earlier when I was talking to Rob when I got here late, was what makes...
It was noted, mate. Don't you worry about it. I'll write that down in my book. You're in so much trouble.
Was what makes a great supporter. Because we obviously were talking about the Warriors.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was working the night that they were playing, and we got a lot of people in who support the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys playing the game?
Yeah, we had the game on. And it got me thinking, like, okay, what makes a great supporter? What?
Well, for me, being a Tottenham supporter all my life is, and I said about the Warriors supporters, one day when I did a show on Saturday a couple of years ago, I got the train, I had a Tottenham shirt on. Penrose, a whole lot of them got on the train and they lost. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, fuck, this could go off. But they were the nicest bunch of supporters I've ever met. They were brilliant and they were just right into it. And to me, a true supporter of a club, and I said to you this earlier, is when you've lost 6 games in a row, it's pissing down with rain on a Wednesday night and you're sitting there. That's a real supporter. As opposed to a glory seeker that only goes when they're winning. To me, I mean, like, we're playing real rubbish at the moment, Tottenham, but I'm still a Tottenham supporter and I always will be.
Aww.
So to me, that's what a real supporter is.
Anika, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just someone who has, like, that very innate love of the game and love of the sport, you know what I mean? Like, they love people who play the game well, their supporters, because they really admire how certain athletes play the game. Yeah. I don't know, that's what it comes down to for me. It totally comes down to just like a love of the game.
Is it just passion? Like, can that love of the game sort of turn you into quite a toxic supporter though? So
Oh, rather yeah. Nice. I mean, I'll tell you a story. When I used to live on my own and I had my dog, I'd get up like maybe 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the game. And my dog would, like, because my dog used to sleep on my bed, and he'd come into the lounge and sit on the couch, and I'd be playing, and I'd be jumping up, oh, he's going, fuck off, like that, and the dog used to get up and walk off, and I'd be going, no, come here, mum. It's not you. And in the end, he just used to stay in bed. Yeah, I have a personality bypass when I watch Tottenham, especially when I used to go to the games, just stay away from me, don't ask me questions, don't do anything. So, yeah, you can get it, and you get caught up in it as well. I mean,
it depends what it means to be a toxic supporter. I mean, you can't really talk about this without talking about the other side of it. And I don't think that necessarily makes someone a toxic supporter.
Toxic supporters then, to me, are people like the Chelsea supporters.
Well, yeah, that
are like racist or anti-Semitic or whatever.
To me, a toxic supporter is someone who, like, will put their love of an athlete or a team over their love of the sport.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm a toxic supporter then. Only sometimes.
Only when it comes to
But that's because it means so
Tottenham?
Much to me. And sorry?
Tottenham?
Yeah. But then sometimes I think, oh, like, does it really matter? But it does. I know there's all this shit going on in the world.
That it does.
And when we lost 3-2, that gnaws my whole day up.
Yeah.
Just, I went off grid, I wouldn't talk to anybody for 2 days.
That's okay. That's what you, I mean.
I suppose it's passionate. That's such a good question. I'm going to have to think about this. Probably won't get out with the podcast because I'll come up with the answer when I'm on the way home.
Yeah, well.
What about you, though,
Joe?
Because,
like,
you're not, I mean, you're into rugby? For you, it's.
I think we know what Joe's into.
The face punching stuff.
We all know what I'm into. Yeah.
Okay, it's your question, man. You should have thought about this
first.
Yeah, I
know. Now I'm like, yeah, I.
But you're not really a supporter. You're a what is it? I can't think of the word. But you're a student of the game,
of
the sport.
Yeah.
An athlete?
As far as combat sports goes, yeah, I guess you could call me like a student of the game. But yeah, it's I don't like being biased. Like, I think that being biased is just pointless. Like, if you're just. But
what
like,
do you mean?
I give people the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not just like, obviously there are some guys who I'll show a bit more leniency towards. So let's take like Israel, for example. Obviously I'm like I'm a huge Israel fan. And with me wanting to compete in the sport.
Just actually add his name to it, because otherwise we're going to think you're against Palestine. So you should say his full name.
Wait, guys, 1 sec.
What were we talking about?
Well, supporters and toxic supporters,
yes.
and you see, I'm a football supporter.
So you say that you won't be biased, but you'll be like more lenient to like certain players, which I think is definitely valid. But I don't think bias necessarily makes someone a toxic supporter or anything.
Yeah, but like if you think about it, you know,
bias is very natural when it comes to things.
So what do you mean by toxic supporter then?
I literally, like, okay, the best example I can think of is all the stuff you told me about, like, Chelsea supporters,
yeah.
You know? Obviously, not every Chelsea supporter is bad. Let's just clarify that.
Oh,
but, listen.
No, they're not. I'll put my hand up to that.
I said this last week. You have to move as fast as your slowest walker. Someone's going to ruin it for you, you know? And I feel like some of the examples you've given me of, like, Chelsea supporters is a perfect embodiment of that. Like their owner, the chants about their owner's name and a bit of racism here and there.
Anti-Semitic as well. They're so anti-Semitic to Tottenham. It's disgusting. But there you go.
So yeah. But yeah,
I think toxic fans really they root for their team's opponent to lose before they root for their team to win.
It's a one to think about.
Yeah, I'm a toxic supporter. It's not going well for me, is it?
But I don't think you are, Rob.
No, I think that
you love football.
Yeah.
Like, it comes from a genuine love and respect of the game.
I don't hate anything. Hate is such a strong word. I dislike lots of things. I don't hate. There's too much emotions to be wasting your time on, do you know what I mean?
Like, if Tottenham lost... which they
have. Well, we do every other week, yeah.
But, like, when Tottenham loses, if they fairly lose and it was a fair game and it was a good game, you're not going to dog the winners.
I will.
Yeah, you will, but not in it. Okay, you know what, Rob? I'm done with trying to pull you out of your hole.
No, I'm not coming out. I'm just digging it even deeper now.
But this has got me thinking, okay, what's some of the worst things fans have done during a sports game? So, I went online and I looked up a list of the worst things that fans have done during sports games. So I'm going to read them out to you guys, and this I'm going to get your guys' reaction to them.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I love this. I'm so glad you didn't tell me about this before.
So, we'll start with the first one. Now, I'm reading an article about this.
Where's it come from? America?
Bleacher Report. So there might be more American sports. But yeah, the first one, a Phillies fan, Philadelphia Phillies, I believe that is a baseball team. This fan is guilty of disrupting the game by running onto the field and getting tased.
Good job.
He tased someone?
Oh, no, that's not... What?
Wait, in a game between the Philadelphia Phillies...
No, didn't he get tased?
So, during the game, they were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. A 17-year-old boy ran out onto the field and waved a white towel around. Greatest moment of his life until the security guard tased him. And there are reports that even his father... He even called his father that morning and asked for his blessing. Some would argue that him getting tased was a punishment, but that would be false. Every player on the team should be allowed to kick him in the balls.
Following. Well, no, you're disrupting the game.
Yeah, I feel like some of these aren't even as bad as I thought. A fan throwing a fake penalty flag on the field. I'm guessing this is during a gridiron game. This one was between Virginia Tech and Boston College. Yep, so it was a college football game.
I find that a bit funny. He's obviously thought about that and gone to a lot of trouble. Yeah. So don't care about American football anyway. So.
The Bauman incident. Okay, so this fan is guilty of costing the Chicago Cubs a trip to the World Series. Now, if you know the history between the Chicago Cubs and making it to the World Series... It's quite long. I believe they won it a few years ago, but I can't quite remember which year they won it in. And it was obviously huge. I'll just quickly look it up.
Well, if he's affected a game like that, then he should be banned for life, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's so out of order. Yeah. Funny things are all right. I mean, I've seen it in football before. You're losing, the ball comes into the supporters and they don't give it back. I know they give them another one back straight away, but things like that are okay, sort of. But that's, I can sell out of order.
Yes, so to cost, I'll go into it a bit soon, but to cost a team like the Chicago Cubs, especially a shot at the World Series, they won the World Series in 1907, 1908, and then they won it in 2016.
Holy shit, that's a bit of a...
inconsistency?
Yeah.
Slightly. But you can imagine how important it would have been for them to win the World Series.
Yeah.
This happened in 2003. So during Game 6 of the NLCS. I can't remember what that stands for.
Make it up.
Marlins' second baseman hit a ball foul into the left field stands. Cubs outfielder. Attempted to catch it, but was unable after a man called Steve Bartman interfered with the play. The Cubs, who had a 3-2 series lead, would go on to lose a game, and this incident was considered the catalyst for the loss of a game and the series. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's out of order.
Mm.
Fans attacking... players. Now, this one talks about a fan attacking a hockey player.
Ice hockey or field?
I believe this is field. Field hockey. In a
junior, well, the wanker, whatever they done, we don't like them.
In a junior hockey game between the Eugene Generals and Seattle Totems, a general was sent off the ice. Oh no, this is ice hockey. Was tackled by a crazy fan for reasons unknown. And that's it. They just tackled him.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, nah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, hold on. I'm going to try and find some actually. Okay, jeez, this one's pretty bad.
I've just read the headline. That's fucking hell.
This athlete was attacked with a hunting knife.
Oh my gosh.
While the Angels were playing the Yankees, out of nowhere, a fan threw a knife with a 5-inch blade at him.
How the hell did he get in the ground with it? That's when was this?
Dark.
This was 1986.
Okay.
And luckily, the handle of the knife struck his arm, and that was it.
Did they catch the guy? They obviously caught the guy. What happened to him?
Well, since the knife didn't actually inflict any damage,
what's wrong with America?
Game chance. Yeah, that's fucking crazy. It doesn't really clarify whether or not he was punished for it. I hope he was. Jesus Christ. I'm just quickly going to try and find someone.
Oh, I can't remember that one with Eric Cantona.
Kung Fu Cantona.
Yeah, Cantona. That was brilliant.
harassing Cantona to the point he
Cantona.
Felt... Cantona. My bad. Harassing Cantona to the point he felt he only had one option. Unleashing his inner Liu Kang. That's actually a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah, he jumped into the crowd and like kung fu kicked this geezer in the face. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, and that was out of order by him. I mean, because when you go to something like football, you just everybody's abusing the other side. They should be used to it. I'm not sort of, you know.
So a fan of the rival team was harassing him. Funnily enough, the same guy that was harassing Cantona at the game was arrested the year that this article was written.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what year. 2011, sorry. For, I think, having a brawl at a children's soccer game. Oh, no, yeah. But yeah, punching another man at a
Jesus.
Children's football game.
Yeah, well, banned for life.
What else we have? Vancouver writes... Okay, well, this one... I want to talk about this one because it has happened in other sports. Rioting after your team wins or loses or anything like that.
Oh,
that
gosh.
Used to happen every Saturday in the UK.
Yeah, it's really
Saturday.
Intense.
I've been chased by supporters.
I remember even watching a video of this chick. She was like in LA and it was the day of the Super Bowl or something. And she was like, fuck, like I really need to go out and go to the supermarket and run these errands, but I can't leave my hotel just in case they lose and there are riots in the street. And I'm like, oh God, to have to like plan for that, like accommodate that into your day. Like imagine just being a person who doesn't care about the game or whatever, having to think about that.
Yeah, which is a good point because it's like after the game, you should just, you know.
Go have a few drinks.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Mates.
Everybody, why you get so wound up? Everybody gets wound up. Mm. I've seen people go mad and celebrate and smash something up. And they go mad and smash things up because they lost. Fortunately, those days have nearly gone.
Well, in this incident, the Vancouver Canucks had just lost Game 7 on the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's an ice hockey. I think that's a big ice hockey championship. They lost to the Boston Bruins. The Canucks fans were not happy. So they did what any logical human being would do, and they decided to start a riot. apparently it wasn't the first time. So this riot was in 2011. They did the same thing when they lost another Stanley Cup game to the New York Rangers in 1994.
Is alcohol served at those places?
Yeah.
I imagine, yeah. Oh, at ice hockey, mm-hmm. Okay, ice hockey game crowds are crazy, though.
Yeah, but so are the players.
I saw the Canucks
I mean?
Play live.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was wild. The whole culture around football hooligans in the UK is crazy because it's such a like widely accepted norm that's part of
there's an anthropologist called, I can't think of his name, but he wrote a book called The Naked Ape. And it was all about in the UK, every generation there'd be a war, and these people were cannon fodder, and they'd get rid of all that aggression, and all of a sudden you got no wars, and a lot of these people are unemployed, come from real bad homes, and their family becomes their football club,
yeah,
and then they will defend that with their life,
yeah.
So Desmond Morris is an amazing.
That actually does sound really interesting. I'd be keen to check that out. It is just like this very, because it brings out that aggression that I guess like they don't have another outlet for, and like when they are so dedicated to their club and they feel it so
it's
passionately.
Their family, because they come from broken homes, they've got no job, and then for that 90 minutes, that's what they live for.
Yeah. It's insane. Wild. Speaking of recent, I mean, this isn't hooliganism, but heckling and whatnot. We had Naomi Osaka.
Yeah, that was
breaking down into tears.
That was just unbelievably
bad. It was so
bad.
But it was in the same stadium where the Serena Williams incident happened.
Because, I think what Osaka said, she was like, you know, I've been heckled before, but I think it was just really triggering getting heckled at that set. It was the Indian Wells Stadium in California, but she got really triggered by being heckled at the same stadium that she'd watched
why was she being heckled? Do you know?
It was literally yelling out like, Naomi, you suck, and like, rah, rah. It was so basic.
Why don't they throw
them out?
Security.
I think I don't know. I think it depends stadium to stadium. I think if that shit happened at like Wimbledon or even like Roland Garros or something, they would get thrown out. Mm. I think it just totally depends on the culture fostered by certain stadiums. And it was just really sad. And I mean, it was interesting because I was talking to Rob about this before, but like, I just have, like, this broke my heart, and I've just got so much more sympathy for her than I had for Medvedev when he got heckled a bit at the Aussie Open final. But I think it was just, you know, she's being thrown, and she wasn't being salty about the loss or anything, and she didn't really attribute it to the heckling, but she just said it was really hard. That's fine. But yeah, she just said it was really hard, and we know that, you know, she's been pretty open about her sort of struggles with mental health and stuff in the past, and she did have to take a break.
Shame on those people, man. Shame on them.
It's like there's no need to be a dick right
But it's
now.
it's almost like it's acceptable. I mean, I was watching the darts, the European Championship thing going on, and it was in Germany, and there was one game, and the crowd started whistling when they were throwing the darts, and it put both players off, and the referee went, right, if you don't stop, that's it, we're out of here.
And sometimes, and you need that.
And then all of a sudden, the rest of the crowd pointed out to security who were doing it, and then there was great after that. But they serve alcohol at these things. Don't serve alcohol. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's simple.
Yeah. It's a hard to... I think it's a really hard thing to police, and it is a really difficult environment to be able to have a few people needing to quickly gauge who needs to be chucked out or who needs to be cut off or whatever.
Do you think alcohol is a part of the culture, though? Especially
I think it is part of the culture.
Because Tottenham's new stadium, they've got their own brewery there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
I don't think there's any taking away someone's beers while they're trying to watch something. But, I mean, you don't have to be a dick. Just, I don't know. But it was really sad. Like, you could see her wiping away tears, like, as she was trying to play. Like, it was fucking sad. And she's such an amazing player as well. And to see her get... kind of, like, clearly, you know, she's obviously been through it, but she was taking it to heart.
She shouldn't have to go through that. I mean, it's got to be stressful enough playing.
Yeah.
Without dickheads, like, trying to put you off and abusing you.
Yeah.
Just wankers. That's it. I'm starting to get angry now.
We'll move on to something which isn't as sports-related, I guess, but I just thought it was funny. Okay. So Elon Musk called out Vladimir Putin yesterday in an emphatic statement on Twitter. He said he would like to go have single combat with the Russian leader.
Putin would batter him.
I feel like
I was just about to say, who's your money on?
He's a black belt in judo, so I feel
he's not, because they took it off of him.
Well, not anymore.
They took it off him?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
By the sanctions.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? After all the sanctions, that would be the one that will really fuck him off, I think.
Out of all the sanctions?
Yeah.
Not losing.
Out of all the sanctions?
Not losing Macca's in Russia? I still don't know what McDonald's was trying to do with that.
Well, like...
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Mr. Popular. Rob is Mr. Popular today.
It's recording studios and shit.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's recording studios and shit.
Justin Bieber's hitting me up.
I told you to keep that quiet.
Oh, well, cat's out of the bag now.
Cut it out of the box.
Don't worry, brother. I'll cut this out. No one will know.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about how Elon Musk wants to fight Vladimir Putin.
I'd put my money on Putin.
But it got me thinking. Yes. Wait, this is great. Imagine a whole fight card just full of celebrities, right? And then all the money.
Instead of war, we should just have man-to-man combat.
Yeah, all
Putin versus Zelensky.
Yeah.
No, actually, maybe not him.
Well, Elon Musk obviously has that first bout. But it got me thinking, shit, there's a lot of fights you could put on this card, right? So,
healthy?
I don't know. But, like, I'm thinking, okay, Kanye West and Pete Davidson been going at it.
Oh,
Jake Paul's offered
my
them,
gosh.
What, like, how many millions of dollars? Like, 60 million or something like that? To have a boxing match. Co-main. There's your co-main.
Oh, my God.
You know? That's a polarizing issue, right? Is whether you're Team Kanye or Team Davidson.
Is it?
I don't know. I heard some dudes talking about it last night.
No, we stand Pete Davidson because we stand Kim.
Yeah.
Apart from what she said about the whole work thing, that was a bit out of touch.
Yeah, true.
We still stand over Kanye. I don't know. She kind of fucked herself over. Anyway, we can cut that out. That's not really sports, is it?
I was going to keep this all in because I'm thinking maybe of reigniting the 50 Cent versus Floyd Mayweather beef. That was hilarious. Yeah.
You're thinking of reigniting that?
Yeah, hopefully it happens.
Joe is going to single-handedly...
I'm going to instigate it.
Instigate 50 Cent.
I know they listen to the podcast. You'd be surprised who listens.
Yeah, 50 Cent, if you're listening... Yeah. Floyd was talking shit about
you. I'll call you later, man. Call you later.
Yeah. I just thought that was hilarious because it was just funny. It was like, it was funny. Like 50 Cent and like Floyd Mayweather, you know? And like,
Joe would like to see all public beef settled in the ring.
We need to bring Celebrity Deathmatch back.
What?
I think she was too young as well. No. Celebrity Deathmatch. Was that a reality TV show? I didn't know too much about it because I was too young. But
just Google it later.
Okay. I'll go watch it. Watch it for next week. Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was a great idea. Sorry, that was kind of like.
You thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea. I think it's amazing. We should just all settle all beefs in the ring, right?
No.
Why not?
Because I would lose, and I'm always right when I have beefs. So.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Maybe Connect Four might be better.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what I am really good at? Thumb wars.
Oh, I was just about to say thumb wars.
I'm so good at a fucking thumb war, bro.
Okay.
Is it technical? Do you get real technical with it? It is, right?
Yeah. You've got to psych each other out. What you do is you smash your thumb the day before, so it's like that big.
Yeah.
Straight away, you're fucking playing in someone's head, mate, you know? That's what it's all about.
Same with arm wrestling. Arm wrestling's like quite.
Nah. You see more meat on a sparrow's kneecap than you will on my arm, so I'm no good at that.
Same with me. But like it's like the thumb. It's where you put, it's the thumb placement. Right, because No, I swear it is. There's a certain technical...
This is going to be bad, but I reckon you two all have a go at that.
Absolutely not.
No, but like if there's... If,
it's where the thumb goes. I think it's...
No, like if the thumb's like when you... like. No, it's literally with... It's like there's a certain technique that people use and it helps.
Can you show
leverage.
Me so I can go arm wrestle all my mates and be very
impressive? Hold on. Okay. We're going to do this right now.
Okay.
Okay. So my mate showed me this. So basically, put your arm on the table, right? And if my, I think if like my thumb's over yours,
yeah,
like that, or I forgot, I think it was like this, maybe. Like I forgot how we, I forgot how we, hold on, I forgot how he did it.
What? Do you want me to leave
I
the
forgot,
room?
I forgot how he did. Okay, I forgot how he did it. But like, if you put your thumb, like it's like leverage. Or it's like in the wrist. I don't know, something like
Joe,
that.
Joe,
like
that, like I that. Think the physics of arm wrestling will beg to differ.
I think not. Then again, I didn't do too well in physics in school. So, yeah. What else was I going to talk about today? Oh, yeah. So North Korea's basketball rules was the other one.
Oh, yeah. North Korea loves their basketball. Kim Jong-un, huge basketball head.
Well, yeah.
He looks like a basketball. He's about the same size, isn't he?
Well, he's boys with Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Oh, he's a really weird.
He's a
crazy relationship. Yeah, now.
It's weird how that was, like, the diplomatic, like, when Trump was still president and he went and met with Kim Jong-un. How Dennis Rodman was the,
so strange.
Was a diplomat in that situation.
Things you say when you got like, a flame thrower.
They're like mates. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's interesting rules over there, though. So, slam dunks are actually worth 3 points.
Mm.
How much are they normally worth?
Well, two. The normal.
Okay, I don't know. That's why I asked.
Well, then.
In order to find out.
And normally, obviously, it's like 2 points for a basket and basketball. Regardless, if within the paint or the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, outside the rim, it's not outside the rim. Outside the arc, it is.
you know the technical terms, didn't you?
It is 3 points, right? Common knowledge. But 3 point shots are actually awarded 4 points if the ball doesn't touch the rim. So if it just like swishes straight through,
yeah,
it's worth 4 points.
It's got to swish through. If it makes any other noise, it don't count.
1 point is deducted for every missed free throw shot.
That's a good idea.
Which is that's an interesting one, because now you have guys like Wilt Chamberlain and Shaquille O'Neal who were there. Like play style was they just would stand with within the arc and they would, you know, just slam it down. But obviously their 3 point or their shooting wasn't as great. So it would mean that, you know, maybe they have a lot less points within games. But like 1 point deducted is pretty harsh. This one was interesting. Any field goal, so any shot at the basket made in the last 3 seconds of the game, that is 8 points.
Why have they done this?
I have no idea. I literally don't understand why they have made the rules this way. It gets you thinking, okay, what if you're down like 7 points? Up 7 points and last few seconds of the game, your team just shoots a basket and they win the game.
Wow.
It's just wild. To me, that's wild.
That's it.
Yeah. That's... I don't know. I just thought that was interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
You guys look real interested right now.
I think we're just a bit faded. Burnt out, I should say.
Yeah. Should we do our warm-down exercises now?
Let's do some warm-down exercises. Yeah.
What's up and coming for this weekend then, really, isn't it?
What's up and coming for this weekend?
Well, for me, it's the cricket at Eden Park on Sunday, the mighty England against New Zealand, and Tottenham are playing West Ham. And we will lose that because we're playing, by the time we're recording this on a Wednesday, we're playing Brighton tomorrow, which we will win, and then we'll lose against West Ham. Rob out.
It's a pretty bold prediction.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. And you
we can't win two games in a row.
That's fair.
And then I guess for me it's just the
rugby league.
Super Rugby, our peaky inaugural final on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
So very exciting. Definitely check it out. Two fantastic teams. Should be really good. Also, I think just super quickly, want to bring up how it's pretty cool that the NRL here has just announced a whole lot of changes to the women's edition of the tournament. there are planned expansions, a salary cap, a pay boost, full-time contracts, and that's all going to come into action over the next 2 years, I think, up until 2024.
Well, so it should be happening right now.
It should be, but it's happening quickly as well. So definitely watch the match on Sunday.
Yep.
Women's Super Rugby in New Zealand is about to take off hard.
Good. In actual fact, she'll be able to tie that in with the cricket as well.
Yeah, got you. Yeah. Cool. And I'll just drop.
Sweet. The main thing this weekend is...
face punching.
Yes, it is. More face punching. The UFC is on this weekend in London, and we have one of our own fighting. Dan Hooker will be fighting Arnold Allen. He's going down to featherweight. Usually he fights at lightweight, but he's going down to featherweight for the first time, I think, in a bit. He used to fight at featherweight. That's the main one you should catch. So a lot of fights on that card. Paddy Pimblett's also fighting on that card, who's that quite an up-and-coming or quite prominent up-and-coming figure from Liverpool. And there's a lot of UK talent on this. The main event is Tom Aspinall versus Alexander Volkov. That's going to be an incredible fight as well. And just a shout out also to BJ Bland, who's also fighting in PFL, if you want to catch another one of our boys fighting. He's another guy to check out. So he's fighting. I'm not sure how you can watch that. You just probably have to look up PFL.
Sick.
And that's us from Hit the Playbook.
Sport should always be the winner.
We'll catch.
You spell sport FUN.
And we'll catch you next week on the Playbook.
Fucking hell.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.